Your solo album, well, your second solo band album came out, The Corruption of Mercy came out a few weeks ago in Europe, and it's coming out at the end of the month in the States. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay, so I don't really know what else you're going to ask me, but basically, if you're aware that the first solo album was A Sign of Sublime, and it went really, really badly for loads of reasons. So it was a case of I knew that I had to do another album really fast, a lot more thought out, a lot more professional, better production, and everything else that goes with that. And I just knew that I had to do it quickly, because I was hoping that people would forget A Sign of Sublime very, very fast. So with this album, you know, a lot of thought went into it, and we're really happy with it. We're really, really happy with it, you know. I think with A Sign of Sublime, I didn't read reviews. I didn't care about reviews, because no one could tell me what I already knew, and that was 80% of it was pretty shit. You know, it could have been good. It could have, but, you know, bad record company, lots of other things. Whereas with The Corruption of Mercy, it doesn't matter what people think, because we're happy with it. You know, we have self-satisfaction finally. So, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. I suppose, you know, musicians will understand that you have to be proud of your work. The first album wasn't proud of at all, but this one, very proud of, so.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we actually did give it also a pretty bad review, the last one, and we
Thank
were kind of being honest and everything, and
No, dude, be honest, there's nothing you can say to me that will ever offend me, so, you know, so it's cool, but do tell me, you know, tell me what you think. I'd like to hear it, because I never read anything. I just knew it wasn't wise to read anything.
Oh, no, but yeah, I mean, basically the words we used to describe it which were pretty much almost the same ones you listed, so, yeah, but, I mean, we were kind of surprised with this new one. That's why we wanted to, you know, get a chance to talk to you and probably get your side of the story, but you came out straight and just set it up right, so.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you a load of words for it. I tell you, I have probably listened to that album three times, if that, and that was only to learn songs that we were going to play live, because the way I saw it was, okay, the album went bad, maybe I can redeem myself by playing these songs live and proving that these songs are good. And we did do okay. People did like the songs live. So, you know, there were benefits to having a shit album. But I have to admit, I don't think I did a single interview in America. I really can't think of doing one interview in America. And it says a lot. It says a lot. And I'm proud of the orchestral stuff. You know, like, Daddy's Not Coming Home, it's a piano song. It's a song I wrote when I was really, really young. And, you know, there's the other two slow songs that are on there. I don't regret them one little bit. And I do like A Sign of Sublime, the actual song. I think that is good. It could have been better, but it is the best metal song on there. But, yeah, seriously, you can tell me it was shit. Everyone can tell me it was shit, because I know, and it's sad, because that was supposed to be me breaking away from other bands and breaking away from being a session singer. You know, I think a lot of people expected a lot, and sadly they didn't get it. So, sorry, America, sorry if you hated me.
And what was the different approach you took this time? Since you said, I mean, you wanted to rush it out quick, but also provide a quality product. So how hard did you guys work on it, and how long and all those details?
Well, as you know, it's under my name, and it's not something that I wanted. I thought it was very egotistical to call it Sarah Jezebel Diva. I thought it was very big-headed, and I hated it. I did not want to call it Sarah Jezebel Diva. So it was very presumptuous. But record company said, well, people know the name, so if you start with something else, then people have to get to know that name, whereas if you just call it Sarah Jezebel Diva, people are going to automatically make that link. So I started with that, and obviously everyone was session musicians. I teamed up with a guy in America. He worked his arse off. And where the problems were was, it was, I've got to be careful so I don't get myself into trouble, but let's say the album fell into higher powers, and the person who had control of that album, he ruined it. He over-edited, he lost files, he done things with my voice, there's stuff he didn't do with my voice, he just fucked the whole thing up, and then we hit a deadline, and it was like, well, you've got a week to mix this album, and then it's gotta go out. So we sat there, me and Dan Abella, who is now in the band with me now, he owns a recording studio, and we sat there and we, Bitch, for example, Bitch was meant to be a lot heavier, and when we came down to mixing that song, as the song went through, files started dropping out, so by 3 minutes, it was just bass and vocals. The guy who had the album before us had lost files, so there was lots of problems. Also, the other thing was the album was recorded in 4 different countries. That wasn't on purpose. That was just because I was working with the guy in Ohio. I was living in Australia at the time as well. Some stuff had been done in Sweden and some stuff had been done in England. So it got messy. So there was problems there. So the difference with this new album, The Corruption of Mercy, is that I had full control. I sat down, I wrote a lot of stuff myself. Me and Dan Abella, who, as I said, mixed A Sign of Sublime, or tried to, me and him got really close as friends, so we decided to write the album together. Because, again, he said to me, look, you've got to redeem yourself, you've got to do something, otherwise you're never going to get anywhere. So we sat down. It took us about a year on and off because I had stuff going on. He had the recording studio. But we just met up on a regular basis and we wrote and we wrote and we wrote until we were very happy, until we were sure that it was 100 times stronger than the last album. So it was all done in one studio. We signed a deal to Listenable Records, who I am on with Antoria as well. So we were working with a record company who were trusted, who were reliable, who didn't lie, who didn't fuck people over, pardon my language, you know, who were just trustworthy, and it was the best thing that could have happened to me as a singer, being with Listenable Records. So there were so many benefits. Like I said, because the album was recorded in one recording studio, no files went missing. It went so much better. Of course, we still had lineup problems. You know, we've had students in the band, people have had to leave because they've had to get a job and stuff like that. But the album was a lot more controlled. There was much more of a vision and much more direction. So, and I hope that that shows this time as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, he definitely shows to be a more mature, more team effort than the previous one. And and you know, in terms of the band members, I mean, what made you, why did you decide to approach, you know, kind of put together a band versus, you know, just getting a bunch of friends or whatever to do, you know, guest appearances, a typical thing that a lot of solo projects are doing now.
Well, the thing is, I think with the sign of Sublime, I never thought it was going to be a band. You know, the SJD thing, as much as I wanted to tour, I just wanted to get an album out. I wanted to prove that I had a voice, that I could do this, and I didn't need to be just doing oohs and ahs. You know, I had something to prove, but I hadn't sorted out my direction in my head. I was just throwing it all together. I'm not saying that, you know, the album was thrown together. I think I was just trying to grab every opportunity to just get a product out there to get people to take me seriously, because, you know, I've been on the scene since I was 16. Yeah, I'm now 34, and I've never ever been taken seriously as a singer. I've never really had credit for the vocals that I've done in the past on other bands' albums or anything. So for me, I was just trying to prove something, that I can do this. But when it all went wrong, I thought, right, I've got to reassess things, and I've got to get people in who I trust, they trust me, that we get on. I didn't want to just pick names from big bands that I knew to sell records. That's not what I'm about, and I don't want to do that. I want everyone to be a nice, happy family. You know, as gay as that sounds, that's how a band should be, to communicate. But sadly, it doesn't always work out like that. You know, we've had so many lineup changes, and we're not even established yet. And like I said to you, you know, like I've had a few drummers now, and they've had to do other things. They've had other priorities, because sadly in life, paying your bills is more of a priority, sadly. So people have had to come and go. And I'd like to say that this lineup that we've got now is stable, but you just never know what's around the corner. I mean, I've got two students in the band with us right now, and next week they could turn around and go, you know what, we're going to have to get a job. It's impossible. It's so difficult to tour and have a job. You know, it's very difficult to be a musician and still pay your bills. So the plan is to have a stable lineup, to stop hiring people, to be a solid, secure band. But like I say, anything can happen, and I'm sure there's another 100 changes round the corner as well. So everyone is a member, though. But like I say, things change. So.
And how do you see, you know, the difference between, like you said, I mean, before, basically you just had to show up, and now you're responsible for the whole deal. And how do you like, you know, this process of changing from, you know, being just the singer to now being in charge of the band?
Well, even though, again, it's under my name, I think everyone's equal. You know, I want people to pull their weight in the band. I want people to write. You know, I did a lot of writing. I wrote the lyrics, but I also did a lot of writing as well on The Corruption of Mercy. And that's how I want it to be. I want everyone to pull their weight. As for going from backing singer to lead singer, it's scary. It's really, really scary, you know. I'm used to standing in the background and having the little man jump all over me and scream over me, you know. I'm not used to being centre stage. I mean, you know, if I take how things are on stage with Cradle of Filth, Danny is a very good front man. He knows how to work an audience. And a lot of people said to me, oh, but you've had years and years of experience. I've had years and years of experience of standing in the background, not working an audience. And I've got to admit, it's really daunting, because the shows that we've done now, I don't lack confidence at all, but I think it's very presumptuous to stand there and go, come on everyone, la la la, do you know what I mean? I just don't feel I've got the right to do that right now, because I don't know who's there to see me, who's there to hate me, who's there to criticise us. I think the more shows we do, the more confidence will be gained in the fact, you know, of how I conduct an audience. It's still, I'm okay singing, I just don't know where to put my hands and how to communicate, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, I mean definitely. We actually saw you guys at Wave Gothic Treffen, and that was one of our questions because yeah, we kind of saw you a little bit nervous and not even making eye contact when you were singing there.
I think I'm too scared to make eye contact right now. One thing was at WAV, I couldn't see the set list, right? The set list was put upside down on the drum riser.
Oh.
And I had to keep going back and forth, and I was like, oh, I can't see the set list. And even though I know the songs, nerves get the better of you. But I don't ever want to assume that if there's 200 people watching us, that they actually give a shit. I mean, I don't mean that to sound rude. I just don't want to stand there with a big head and assume everyone is there to watch us and praise us. I think that's something I've got to get out of. And you've also got to bear in mind, I think we've actually only done about 14, 16 shows. So I'm still learning. I really am still learning. And it will happen with time. Yeah, it will happen with time. But we did actually get a good review for WAV. I was really happy to see one guy had said some really nice things about me, and I was shocked because I actually didn't think I did that well. But again, it's just time. I mean, I'd like to say that in a year's time we will be a hell of a lot better, we will be a hell of a lot tighter, we will all be much more confident on stage. And I think people expect me to be confident and rule the audience. I just don't know how to, because I feel that it's rude to. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It really, really is when you're standing there and everyone's looking at you. You just want to sing. You just want to do your thing, you know. It's difficult.
Yeah, but, I mean, at least in that show, your guitar player, we believe, was the one that pretty much got the crowd going, so that was good.
Oh, the German, the bass player.
Yeah, the bass player, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a model. He's used to being a poser. Yeah, that's what he does. Yeah, he is good. He is good. I don't know what it is with him. He's very, very good. Yeah, I think he's got a lot more confidence than the rest of us, definitely. I don't think he cares what he does on stage, or as in, you know, in a good way. That nothing holds him back. And I kind of hope that that's where we will be in a year's time, you know. But again, like I said, we don't know who's there to see us and who's not. And I suppose that's my mistake. I've just got to just go out there and take the bull by the horns, you know, and just go for it. It'll happen.
Yeah, exactly. And in terms of plans, I mean, what are you guys thinking of doing or have in store for promoting this album now that it's coming out of the States a few months apart, basically?
Well, sadly, I mean, promoters need to take a risk. You know, we don't have any money. If a promoter in America decides to bring us out, it would be fantastic. But, you know, it's a hard scene now. Money is such a key thing to this now. We don't have money to come over. We don't have money to pay for visas. And when you hear certain music critics go, oh, they're all about the money, these bands, they only care about money. Well, it's the money that gets these bands touring. And if no one takes a chance, if no promoter goes, right, I'm going to put some money into this band, I'm going to pay for the flights, I'm going to pay for them to tour in a van and blah, 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 it's just sadly never going to happen. So all I can say is that, you know, we stay in contact with fans as much as possible. We, you know, we have the official Facebook page. We talk to people all the time. We hope that people buy the album. We hope that people don't illegally download it, because it majorly affects bands. We just hope people support us, and if the record company go, you know what, there's a lot of interest. Hopefully they'll put some money into us and they'll go, you know what, we'll send them out to America. But we did a video, I don't know if you've seen the video, we did a video a few months ago, so that's obviously going to promote the album. We hope that we get loads of interviews, but until we all become millionaires, I can't really see us getting over to America yet. I mean, it takes a long time for European bands to get over to America. It really does. And it's every band's dream come true, you know, to play America. But we just hope that a promoter out there takes a chance on us and goes, you know what, I'll put them on as a support slot or this and that, and we'll give them a chance. So, sadly, it's not in our hands.
Yeah, exactly. It's always a hard thing, especially when you're pretty much starting from, I mean, a new, fresh band.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the shock, maybe from, you know, playing with established bands, to now that you pretty much guys almost have to set up your own stuff on stage and everything versus, you know, even though you were in the background, whatever, but everything was, you know, set up
for
you guys.
It was done for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I got to admit, I love the fact that we have to do stuff ourselves. You know, I think when you're used to when you're used to having your arse wiped by crew, when you don't have to think about anything, I don't like that, because I think you take too much for granted. I like the fact that we have to do everything ourselves. I like the fact that we get to communicate with people and we don't have to have a roadie to do it. You know, I think, you know, I've spent so many years on a tour bus, and we're used to being spoon-fed when you're in a big band, and I like the fact that we're starting from the bottom again. Sadly, it's a shame that we don't get given more of a chance, but that's life. But you just persist, don't you? And hopefully one day we will get to a big enough level where people will take more of a chance and we will be on a tour bus. But if we're not, it's no problem. As long as we get to play shows, that's all we care about. If we play to 5 people and they love it, that's fantastic. You know, it's not all about playing to huge audiences and having people worship you. It's about those few people turning up and really supporting you. And also when you're in a big band as well, I've noticed it so many times, I don't like the big head thing. You know, you get security holding you back from fans, and I don't like that. I like to talk to people. It's always nice to get feedback, so.
Okay, and then just kind of one of our closing questions in terms of what's next for the band, for album-wise, have you guys started thinking about anything else, or are you pretty just taking in the release of the latest album?
Well, we have a tour coming up in England. That's just being booked now. And that is going to be October, going through to, I think, possibly November. And then we're supposed to be hopefully touring Australia, Europe, next year at some point. So in between that, we are going to write a new album, because you have to. You can't be forgotten. You know, a lot of people said, oh, Sign of Sublime came out last year and The Corruption of Mercy came out this year. Well, the scene really isn't doing that well. You know, so you've got to keep on the ball. You have to make sure people don't forget you. So we will write a new album, and we did want to get that out at some point at the middle of next year, but we are going to start writing as soon as possible in between shows and tours.
Oh, sounds great. And one of the kind of obligated questions, since everybody seems to be doing that, will you ever be doing a female growling in your band?
I wish I could. You know, when I was younger, I used to be able to do really good Max Cavalera impressions. Really good. But then, you know, now I just cough too much. So, no, I won't. I mean, you know, trust me, I don't like the typical female thing. I'm very much into black metal and death metal and doom. You know, I wish that I could sing like Ishan from Emperor. Shame I can't, but no, sadly, you're just stuck with this voice, so.
Well, it seems to have worked out for you for the last 15 years.
Yeah, and I'm getting older now, and things change.
Yeah, that is true.
Give it a few years, I'll sound like James Brown.
Oh, we can't really picture that, but you never know.
You never know. I've got to stop smoking first.
So just kind of closing remarks, is there anything you want to say to people in North America that are going to be listening to this interview?
Oh my God, are they listening to it?
Oh no, I mean, I'll edit it, so...
Okay. Just give us a chance, you know, just... I don't know, I like I say, I don't read reviews, I judge for myself. So, if your magazine gives us a shit review, then everyone ignore it. if we get a good review, then listen to them, you know. Just give us a chance, you know, just people need to be open-minded and give bands a chance, no matter what they read, just judge for yourself. And we hope people will buy the album, and we hope that we can come over and play a few shows. We really, really do. You know, it would be amazing to come over to America. And other than that, rock on.